Wednesday edition of Free Talk Live. Boys are on the road off to the Talkers Convention, and here tonight in the studio, it is Nemi.
And Garrett.
And Daryl.
We're keeping the home fires going here while the boys are away. We're inviting you over to our website at freetalklive.com, where you can get interactive with other Free Talk Live listeners, and you can control the content of the site. Submit show prep. Our first story of the evening came from a listener just like you. So enjoy the features we have waiting for you over at freetalklive.com. Also, 855-450-FREE, that is the SACL CAI toll-free call-in line. And we are talking about empathy and literary fiction. Daryl,
yes,
tell us a little more here.
I've got a story here from The Guardian where a couple of people did what is called a theory of mind study. And they have concluded that reading literary fiction actually makes one more empathetic. Kidd, who is, I forget the first name, David Comer Kidd, who is one of the researchers, says, some writing is what you call writerly. You fill in the gaps and participate. And some is readerly, where you are entertained. We tend to see readerly in more genre fiction, like adventure, romance, and thrillers, where the author dictates your experience as a reader. Literary or writerly fiction lets you go into a new environment, and you have to find your own way. Transferring that experience of reading fiction into real-world situations was a natural leap, Kidd argues, because, quote, the same psychological processes are used to navigate fiction and real relationships. Fiction is not just a simulator of a social experience. It is a social experience. But not all psychologists agree with Kidd and Castaño's use of the theory of mind technique. Philip Davies, a professor of psychological sciences at Liverpool University, whose work with the Reader Organization connects prisoners with literature, said they were a bit odd. Davies says, testing people's ability to read faces is a bit odd. The thing about novels is that they give you a view of an inner world that's not on show. Often what you learn from novels is a bit baffled. A novel tells you not to judge. In Great Expectations, Pip is embarrassed by Joe because he's crude, and Pip is on the way up. Reading it, you ask yourself, what is it like to be Pip, and what's it like to be Joe? Would I behave better than Pip in his situation? It's the spaces which emerges between the two characters where empathy occurs. The five experiments used a combination of four theory of mind tests, reading the mind in the eyes, or RMET, the diagnostic analysis of nonverbal accuracy test, or DANV, the positive-negative effect scale, or PANAS, and the Yoni test.
I love it how it doesn't explain what the Yoni test is.
It doesn't explain what the Yoni test is, and the Yoni test is also not an acronym.
That's true.
Interestingly enough. However, although Castaño and Kidd proved that literary fiction improves social empathy, at least by some measures, they were not prepared to nail their colors to the mast when it came to using the results to determine whether a piece of writing is worthy of being called literary. These are aesthetic and stylistic concerns, which as psychologists we can't and don't want to make judgments about. Kidd continues, neither do we argue that people should only read literary fiction. It's just that only literary fiction seems to improve theory of mind in the short term. There are likely benefits of reading popular fiction, certainly entertainment. We did not measure them.
So you guys were talking that you don't really read a lot of literary fiction. You read more fact-based stuff, and I think that's true. I find that I do read quite a bit as it applies in my life, tech manuals, whatever. But I do have to make a point to do pleasure reading, just reading for enjoyment. Do either of you read for pleasure, or is it simply informational?
I used to, but now I find reading is something that fills little niches in time throughout the day, as opposed to something I set aside time for unless I have to.
Yeah. I enjoy reading factual information. When I was a kid, my brother would actually make fun of me because I would literally sit down and read an encyclopedia.
I used to read the dictionary.
I've done that as well.
Yeah, I used to read the dictionary when I was a kid.
While I was reading this article, I think I realized or figured out why I started to not like fiction. And it was when they mentioned Great Expectations.
Yeah. Oh,
nothing
man.
Against that book.
I did not enjoy reading that book.
But in the later years of government schooling, where you were assigned stuff to read and then given tests about how well the teacher thought that you comprehended it based on what the teacher was told that the book is supposed to mean.
Right.
That is really when I got turned off on reading fiction.
I really did not enjoy that book, and it was compulsory reading for me in school. And
what
so,
did Shakespeare mean when he said, "The sky is blue, and yonder window"? He meant that the sky is blue, and there's a window over there. No, the blue symbolizes a bright and cheery day, and everything's going to be great today. What did Shakespeare mean when he said, "Oh, happy dagger"? Yeah, that's probably sarcasm, because daggers generally are not happy just before you thrust them into yourself.
I don't know. I guess it depends on the circumstances.
Well, I've had no experience with Great Expectations, but I did also have a phase at the end of my government schooling, the end of high school, I'd say, where I was not into reading fiction. I saw it as a waste of time, in a sense. But now I've come to appreciate the fiction that I do enjoy and have enjoyed, because I think there's a way to illustrate something in a story that can't be illustrated in facts, and it's rare when fiction really does stand up to that and is able to do that. But I think there's important ways that many people can culturally understand an idea when it's presented in a fictional format. And I'd say that literature has progressed culture to a large extent, but I think that now video is more filling that gap. I'd say as far as the best of any type of work, the best novels, or what could be closest to the best novels, have probably been written because the written word has been around so long. But if we think of like the best films, like how long has cinema been around and how many people actually watch things that were made before, let's say, the 1970s?
Sure.
So, in that sense, the technology for media and expression is constantly getting better, and so I'd like to think that maybe with better videos and better productions that we are able to learn more and take more out of those sorts of, better produced media.
Have all the stories been written?
No. I don't believe so.
I'm not sure. I mean, Garrett brings up film, and I see remakes and remakes and remakes. Does this just mean that there are no new stories to tell?
It's not that there are no new stories to tell. I think one of the reasons that people do the remakes is people are getting lazy, and they don't want to come up with a completely new story. Oh, so let's remake this film from the 1920s. Updated a little bit, and nobody's going to know that we're ripping something off until they go and Google, oh, this is a remake of something else. But there's a lot of films to where they're remaking stuff that came out when we were children.
Right. Yeah, yep. In the 90s, I mean, nothing is beyond a remake now. It's incredible. And Hollywood is just out of ideas.
It's interesting, Garrett, that you mentioned some of the early films. For all of his flaws as a human being, Thomas Edison actually did do some pretty good films when he first invented the cinema.
Yeah, I don't think I've actually seen his films, but I remember he had the idea that no one would want to sit in large groups of people to watch something on a wall.
You take control of the lines. We will be taking your phone calls next. It's 1-855-453 is the SACL CAI toll-free call-in line. This is Free Talk Live.
Do you live with stress? If you have nervousness or common everyday anxiety, we're looking for you. Because right now we're sending risk-free supplies of a fast-acting supplement to listeners of this station. You heard right. Every listener who calls right now will learn how to get a risk-free bottle of Stress Block, a naturally derived formula that promotes feelings of calmness, focus, and well-being in a great-tasting chewable. Supplies for this risk-free offer are limited, so don't wait. Just call 1-800-516-6356. Stress Block is a fast-acting, non-prescription formula to support relaxation without causing drowsiness. Your nervousness is guaranteed to begin fading like magic in no time. This special risk-free offer is for listeners of this station, but it won't last. Call us now for this exclusive Stress Block risk-free offer. Just call 1-800-516-6356. That's 1-800-516-6356. Call 1-800-516-6356.
Again, the Congressional Budget Office sounds the alarm. This time warns of Greek-style U.S. debt crises. You heard me right. The GAO is drawing a parallel between the U.S. economy, its debt, and the current Greek economic meltdown. With the debt-to-GDP chart climbing into unfamiliar territory, the growing budget deficit will rise to unsupportable levels. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. The Federal Debt and Risk of Financial Crises document the CBO has published is a must-read for every American. Covering the risk of continued deficit spending coupled with an aging population and the rising interest rates spell economic disaster. It's imperative that you get a copy of this document and study it for yourself. Call me today at 800-686-2237 and I'll send you a free copy. Again, call 800-686-2237 and ask for your copy of the CBO document. Once again, you need to read this government report. Call 800-686-2237.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
The fall season is here. Falling downstairs, bad. Fallback pricing, good. Don't fall down the stairs. Go to freezedryguy.com. Vote for special fallback pricing on delicious freeze-dried foods and dehydrated foods. Vote early. Vote often. Through October 10th. Tell us which product to put on sale. Then, beginning October 11th, Fallback Friday, the price of the product with the most votes will be on sale with special fallback pricing. Missing out on a sale on emergency preparedness food, camping food, or backpacking food? Bad. Storing delicious freeze-dried entrees, fruits, vegetables, and desserts? Good. Go to freezedryguy.com. Vote now through October 10th for fallback pricing. Voting for politicians who expose themselves? Bad. Voting for fallback pricing at freezedryguy.com, good. Go to freezedryguy.com.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll free at 855-453. That's 855-453.
Free Talk Live, the live Wednesday edition of the program. Joining you here in the studio tonight, it is Nemi.
And Garrett.
And Daryl.
And we are inviting you over to our website to take take control of the airwaves and the content that we talk about here on the show. And Daryl, over to you.
And the Free State Project is at least why I am here. This is one of the oddities to where two out of the three hosts tonight are not Free State Project participants.
That's right. Garrett is also a native.
Normally, indeed, it's the natives that are in the minority on this show, but the Free State Project is what brought me here. And the Free State Project is over 70% of the way to reaching its goal of 20,000 people, stating their intent to move to New Hampshire to exert the fullest practical effort toward the creation of a society in which the maximum role of civil government is the protection of life, liberty, and property. If you are tired of the constant growth of government intrusions in your area, sign up now at freestateproject.org.
I mean, I have met some really fantastic people through the Free State Project. I'm thrilled they picked the state I happen to be born in, and I have not left New Hampshire because I love living here, even with the winters. But I just am so excited about some of the things that the Free State Project has really brought to pass here in the state between the CivDis and the Politico folks. It's just really, really awesome.
And some of the people that do some CivDis also do some Politico stuff.
That's right. That's right.
I have been here for a little over a year and a half, and I actually got a bill introduced into the New Hampshire House of Representatives this year.
That's fantastic. Now, I do have some calls here, so we're going to go to the phones and the fun, and we're going to talk to Dave in Brattleboro, listening live at LRN.FM. Dave, are you there?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, Dave. How are you?
I'm okay. Hey, I was just wondering how the Keene elections went.
You know, the results came in last night, and they were not released last night. They were released this morning. FreeKeene.com actually beat the local newspaper to releasing the full election result.
It's so fun when you scoop them.
Ian came in 10th out of 11 people running for at-large city council. So Ian moves on to the general election. And all of the other races were essentially straw polls because it did not make any difference. The two candidates for the races that actually had opposition, both of those candidates are on to the general election. I did not do as well as I thought that I would do
now,
in
you were
the primary.
Running for mayor, right?
Running for mayor. But I also did very little campaigning pre-primary because the primary had no purpose for the mayoral race.
Well, and I guess there may have been some splitting of the votes there, too.
What percent did you get?
I got just under 6%.
They think campaigning might help you out?
I think it definitely will. And one thing that I think sort of played against me is that my opponent is the incumbent mayor who is getting a lot of free media attention from the local talk station, as they love to do, because he's the current mayor. And every chance they get, they badmouth me, Ian, and the others that they consider to be free Keeners. And so that definitely had some effect on the people that show up to the primaries. 6% of the registered voters in Keene showed up for the primary.
Last time when Ian ran for school board, he got like 5 or 6%. What do you get? What percent did he get this time?
I don't have the percentage in front of me, but you can find that at freekeene.com, where I have it broken down and have the percentages for everybody. I think he got about 1.5%.
Ouch.
I mean, granted, it's an unusual race to be split between 10 candidates.
Right. It's a thing where there were 10 candidates, people could vote for up to 5. So the percentages are, you know, automatically going to be skewed in such a large multi-member race with 10 candidates.
Thanks for the call, Dave. Oh, go ahead, sorry.
He got 55.
So you think he's making an impact on Keene with 55 votes?
I absolutely think Ian's making an impact on Keene, and here's why. Even 55
impact?
Votes? Certainly, because it sparks discussion. In the Sentinel, our local paper here in Keene, there was a question posed to all of the candidates asking, what would you do about those free Keene people? And me being sarcastic, my response, if I had been a candidate, I would have said, gas them, you know. But it was really just...
You probably would have gotten a lot of votes.
I may have gotten a lot of votes, and that's a fair assessment. But I think it was really a good opportunity to kind of open the discussion and say, hey, this is exactly the kind of question that is completely unfair and groups a bunch of people together that don't necessarily need to be or should be because we're all individuals, right? So I'm not a participant in the Free State Project because I'm a native and I've lived in Keene 20-something years now. But, you know, I have been lumped in with some folks, and I don't necessarily think that that's the right thing to do, to paint with a broad brush and kind of collectivize, I guess, is the term we should use here.
Something else that is, you know, important to be brought forth is this was a primary election in which 6% of the people showed up to vote. The vast majority of people that show up at a primary municipal election are the bureaucrats, the spouses of bureaucrats, and the friends of bureaucrats. Even the general election is probably going to have no more than 10 to 12% turnout. So to compare any impact that anyone has as an activist to election results is not a fair comparison, because there are a lot of people that, for a variety of reasons, refuse to go vote.
That's right. Thanks for the call, Dave. And next we're going to Leo, who's calling in, listening on a podcast in Dallas, Texas. Hello, Leo. Are you with us?
Yeah. Hey, Naomi. How are you doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Yes.
Okay. I'll change my subject. Congratulations on all your success. I think you are accomplishing big, and I agree with the argument. It's really hard to compete in politics or whatever. Like, get in there and make a difference. I agree with Naomi about the message. But congrats to any of you. That was it. Garrett, you said you got a law passed or got a law introduced into a bill, I mean?
That's Daryl.
Yeah, I got a ballot access reform bill introduced here in New Hampshire. And one thing that's interesting about New Hampshire, the bills for the new legislature are introduced several months before the legislature convenes, and bills cannot be introduced once they go into session. Actually, the time for introducing legislation ended about a week and a half ago.
Leo, can you hold on? I'll bring you back after the break.
Yeah.
Can you talk more about the government shutdown? Fantastic. Hold on just a minute here. And it's Free Talk Live. You take control. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733 is the SACL CAI toll-free call-in line.
For years, you've been hearing about Herbal Healer Academy and how it's remained the leader in effective, alternative, and natural medicine and education. But how can they continue to hold that title for years on end? The answer is high quality and huge selection. Just visit herbalhealer.com and shop online or request a free catalog. You're bound to find the alternative you're looking for. Did you know that Herbal Healer carries the latest, safest, and effective weight loss products? You can also count on Herbal Healer for the largest selection of safe and natural supplements just for children. And don't forget your pets. Herbal Healer even has natural mineral supplements for all your animals, including horses, cows, and birds. Take a peek at their online calendar, and you're sure to find everything you need and maybe something you didn't realize you needed. Visit herbalhealer.com, and don't forget to sign up for the free Herbal Healer newsletter. HerbalHealer.com, working with the power of nature.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide provide you with resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
Enrich and enlighten your life with the Awaken Empowered Expo, October 11th through 13th at the Kobo Center in Detroit. Experts from around the world present the latest advancements in holistic health, wellness science, and free energy technology. It's a weekend of insightful lectures, workshops, and discussions, all designed to help you reach your highest potential self, find the path that will cleanse your body and mind, and open doors to a new level of consciousness. Discover the benefits of raw food and juicing. Participate in the meditative practice of Tai Chi. Strengthen the body through yoga and view life-changing documentaries. An amazing array of exhibitors will offer the newest products and services that support a healthy and holistic lifestyle. Visit AwakenEmpoweredExpo.com for tickets. The Awaken Empowered Expo, October 11th through 13th at the Kobo Center in Detroit. Raising global consciousness as we come together to empower ourselves and each other to live to our fullest potential.
These days, so many suffer from heartburn, stomach ulcers, and acid reflux, and most never realize it is the high acidity within the body that causes their discomfort. While selective diet choices can help, AlkaVision Plasma pH drops can really make a change. A few drops added to water can optimize your body's pH level, ridding you of harmful waste and acid, promoting health, and restoring vibrance and energy. Healthy pH levels make all the difference. High acidity can also cause depression, insomnia, and irritability. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops bring you vital balance that can be truly life-changing. Alkalizing boosts immune response, reduces headaches and cramping, and even helps prevent bone loss. This is simple science that helps your body do what's natural. Order your AlkaVision pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, A-L-K-A-Vision.com, or call 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live. 855-450-FREE is a SACL CAI toll free call in line. Tonight, joining you here in the studio, it's Nemi,
E. Garrett,
and Daryl.
The boys are off on the road to the Talkers Convention in L.A. They'll be gone for a few days, and they'll be back Saturday night, I believe. And in the meantime, I am doing first chair for the first time ever. And it seems to be going well so far.
It is.
And we have been talking with Leo in Dallas, Texas, who called in and would like to talk about the government shutdown. Are you back with us, Leo?
Yeah, it's actually William. I'm the guy who always likes to ask if you back heat.
Ah.
Well, I don't expect you to remember me, but it's been a while. I was just congratulating y'all. I think y'all are truly making an impact over there. I'm jealous. Or I wish more people would do what y'all are doing. I've got bad excuses or whatever.
Well, thanks. Anyway, so, yeah. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I was going to say about the government shutdown. I was just going to think, the government already has a pretty good stranglehold on the healthcare system as it is. And I wonder if, as in 10 years from now, if the government has a heck of a lot more control, what if there's a government shutdown then? What will they do? Are they going to put guards at hospitals and whatever?
They may well.
I'm sure that they would consider the hospitals, if it ever does become a thing of government completely controls every hospital in the country, they would consider the hospitals to be essential services, just like they consider the prisons to be essential services. They haven't shut down the prisons. They haven't released the million people nationwide that are incarcerated for nonviolent drug offenses. They're still keeping those people locked up. They're still bombing a large chunk of the world. In my opinion, the military, at least the preemptive strike force of the military, is the largest non-essential service that the government provides.
Well, yeah, but are you sure about them not shutting down? Don't you remember, what was it, a year or two ago? At one point, they were threatening the paychecks of the soldiers, and then they're also going to shut down. Oh, y'all, they're going to shut down prisons unless, or jails, I think, jails unless inmates out in California or something like that.
Furlough the violent people. I remember that. Yep.
Yeah, that was a state decision in California. The federal prisons are not being closed anytime soon.
Oh, I agree with you.
They might be withholding some of the pay for the military, but they're still commanding them to fly remote control airplanes and drop bombs from them.
Yeah, well, so they may not pay them, they might still demand their services, but I agree with you. You're making a good point. I agree with you. Hopefully they would consider that essential services or whatever, but I don't know.
I'm saying that the military is a non-essential service. Especially the way it's being used these days to create more enemies than it defeats.
These days, it's the United States history of the military. But I noticed recently there was a story about the military actually coming under fire in Africa when they were trying to capture someone, I guess, possibly associated with Al-Shabaab, and they had to pull back. And when do you ever hear a story about the U.S. military getting in an engagement and then having to pull back? I think even if they did, that just wouldn't be a story. And I'm wondering if it has something to do with the shutdown. There needs to be this idea that the government can't function right on any level because of the shutdown.
I don't know if that ties into it, but I'm not going to argue about the military for or against or whatever at this point. But anyway, that was just my thought as the healthcare thing or whatever, but I don't like how they're closing down parks. And, you know, it'd be like your police, if your city's government went out of business and then they hired police to guard all the parks and all that you can normally walk to or whatever, you know?
Yeah, they're doing this intentionally to make people think that they need the government. Without the federal government, there would be no parks, there would be no museums, there would be no zoos. So they want people to beg the government to reopen.
But there would still be welfare checks.
I'm just hoping that the federal government stays shut down through October 17th. I'm hoping that the Congress doesn't raise the debt ceiling, and I'm hoping that Mordor finally collapses.
Thanks for the call, Liam. Yeah. All right, guys. So what's next? We're talking about bullying and the anti-bullying programs?
Let me get that article pulled up real quick.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, that's getting pulled up. I got to say, I'm glad that the government shutdown isn't affecting me. I saw, like, I don't usually see mainstream news these days or corporate news, but I was in a bar or something downtown, saw CNN on, and they had a countdown of the shutdown, how long it's been going on with a counter. And it seemed like they were just trying to make it so important, and really it's not. Everyone's going on with their days.
And they're arresting people for walking in open spaces.
Yeah,
I don't really see the point.
They're spending twice as much on the National Park Service to arrest people for not going to the parks than they spent keeping the parks open.
You think they're actually going to charge these people, or are they just going to drop the charges knowing they'll have to be spending tens of thousands more on court?
Oh, I don't think they have any problem spending money. I don't think they're going to. I think they will. They may drop the charges if the people show up to court. Or,
especially if they're World War II veterans. I mean, that's a news story
right there. Fantastic, and that's incredibly bad PR. I can't even imagine what was going through the park person's head when he said, you guys in wheelchairs who served in World War II, you can't go in here. We'll arrest you if you'll go in here. Are you kidding
me? I actually
think
that this isn't quite as bad of PR for the government as it could have been. Especially when one considers the Bonus Army in the, I think, early 1930s that marched on Washington trying to get the bonus checks that they were promised, and U.S. forces actually fired upon them.
Yes. Imagine if there was video of that. I mean, if they do have any. I think there may be some video from far away, and it's very grainy, of course. It's the 30s or...
Yeah.
If it does
so if the National Park Service had joined up with, say, the Navy SEALs to jump out of the reflecting pool and then invade the World War II Memorial,
oh, man.
That would be bad PR.
Well, there's a story that despite the shutdown, there's a large pro-immigration, or I'd say anti-immigration rally to restore the rights of people who are undocumented immigrants. And that is going on in the National Mall. I believe it was today, or maybe it was yesterday, but during the shutdown. And it was all private organizations that were bringing in the porta-potties and the stages and the lighting and setting all those things up. So they weren't arresting everybody at every park, it seems.
At discretion?
They couldn't have arrested everybody at this event. I mean, I really got to tip my hat to the bravery of many undocumented immigrants. That's a community that, I mean, there's a few million people here undocumented. They're not afraid to go out in public and hold a rally and a march, knowing that they could just be picked up for anything and deported. And there were, I believe, tens of thousands of people on the National Mall for that.
I could not imagine taking that sort of risk because I can't even imagine. Because I'm born here, I should be able to go wherever, and because someone was born somewhere else, they can't enjoy that same piece of property without mm-hmm. getting thrown in jail and thrown beyond a boundary, essentially, as somebody drew in the
sand.
Yeah,
and one thing that's really interesting, at least from a certain perspective, about people that immigrate to the U.S. outside of the proper or legal channels, they're essentially civil disobedience activists on a much larger scale.
Well, I'd say if they're doing activism, it's for their own survival. They probably don't consider it activism.
True.
Right, but civil disobedience is when a person disobeys a law.
True.
Because they believe that it will better society.
So how many people were at the demonstration?
I didn't get exact numbers, but usually they draw tens of thousands whenever there's a large-scale immigration march in D.C.
And do you recall if anyone was arrested?
I'm sure there were some arrests. I didn't actually check numbers, though.
No, I'm just curious to know if the D.C. police are part of the government shutdown, you know? Mm-hmm.
I don't believe they are, because the lady that they shot and killed... That happened during the government shutdown.
All right. Well,
police are considered to be essential.
Oh, right. Essential personnel. 855-450-FREE is the SACL CAI toll-free call-in line. It's Free Talk Live.
We all know how useful bitcoins are, but how can you cash out bitcoins quickly to pay rent or other cash expenses? MoneyPack Trader will sell you a money pack in minutes using the private and fully encrypted messenger program TorChat. You'll need a MoneyPack loadable debit card to deposit MoneyPacks onto, but don't worry. Dozens of debit cards are available free on the internet, and you may already have one from the nearly 50 prepaid debit card companies that allow MoneyPack loading. These debit cards are great because the funds can be withdrawn instantly at your local ATM, and then spent anywhere cash is accepted. Cashing out bitcoins really is that easy, and MoneyPackTrader.com pays the highest rates for your bitcoins. Visit MoneyPackTrader.com today to learn what they can offer you for buying and selling bitcoins with enhanced privacy that no other exchange offers. That's MoneyPackTrader.com.
Iron poisoning, GMO foods, vaccines, and radiation are the means for population extermination. Iron is not a nutrient. It is a poison that replaces copper and accumulates in the body, causing destruction and accelerating aging. Iron is accumulating due to iron uptake facilitators, and copper depleters that have been added to the food and water supply. GMO foods have increased iron availability. Vaccines contain nanoparticle-sized parasites, termed viruses, that thrive and replicate in the presence of iron deposits. Radiation vibrates blood proteins, breaking off the loosely bound iron, resulting in vascular damage and accelerating iron deposition. These poisons work together to decrease lifespan and birth rates. The iron poison population has a lifespan that is decades less than the healthy segment. The poisoners enjoy secretly exterminating the real population below 200 million. They try to change this at times and beat their maker. For further information, go to unveilingthem.com. That is UNVEILING them.com.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
You know about RVs, you've heard about bunkers, but surviving is not recreation, and man wasn't made to live underground. Introducing Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid survival bug-out house that's mobile, well-equipped, and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Go to survivalistcamps.com to learn more. That's survivalistcamps.com, providing your basic needs to survive. Survivalistcamps.com.
You're the kind of person who makes smart choices and is always prepared. That's why the PrepMart.com is perfect for you. Cook a great backyard meal with steam in about an hour with the Can Cooker Jr. Normally $74, on sale now for just $64.95. It's great for camping and emergencies, and batteries are on sale. Up to 10% off our low prices right now at ThePrepMart.com. Great customer service you can trust. Get prepared at ThePrepMart.com. That's ThePrepMart.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live. Here, you take control of the airwaves at 855-450-FREE. That's the SACL CAI toll free call in line. And we're going to go right back to the phones and talk with Matt, Central Coast, listening to KOMY. Matt, are you with us?
Yeah, how you doing?
Pretty good. What's on your mind?
Yeah, you know, you guys are talking about how the shutdown is not affecting people. And now, I'm not a business owner, but I'm, you know, number two in the business of what we do. And I have a naval reservist who... She's going to school full-time and working part-time and, you know, very limited part-time. But now with the shutdown, she's, you know, going to be missing out on military pay and whatnot. And she has a family and all that and came to me today asking for, begging for more hours that I can't give. And I feel horrible about this. But at the same time, you know, if Congress would get their act together and get over the shutdown and start, you know, taking care of the military and the people that serve, you know, not necessarily the military as per se, but just the people, you know, the troops and seamen that serve every day and take care of them and help them with the, sacrifices that they've made to their families and whatnot, then you know it does affect people. And,
well,
and
for clarification, we didn't say that it's not affecting anyone. Garrett said that it's not affecting him.
Yeah, and it's not affecting him, and he's watching people walk around downtown, you know, going about their lives. Yeah, everyone's going about their lives, but there are, you know, a lot of people out there who it's affecting. And
yes, there are a lot of people.
It affects them, and then in, you know, as a result, it affects the people that they know and the people that those people know. So it has a cascading effect, and where, you know, sooner or later, every person in this country is going to know somebody who, in one way or another, is affected by this.
And if the federal government keeps employing more people and keeps making more and more companies dependent upon federal contracts, then sooner or later, everyone in this country will be directly dependent upon the federal government, so things like this will hurt even more than they do.
Oh, I absolutely agree.
So the question is not whether or not the government shutdown should happen, whether or not the government should reopen, but whether or not the government should actually be controlling as many things as they control. Do you believe that the federal government should control parks, museums, and zoos?
Well, as far as museums and zoos, no, I don't think so. I think the only entity out there that is large enough to manage and maintain a park, you know, like the size of Yellowstone or locally, you know, like the Pinnacles that we have here, is the national government, is the federal government. Maybe, you know, in California we have a lot of state parks, and state parks is the largest landowner here in California. But they're also going through some tough times, too, with all of our budget cuts that we have here in the state. So, you know, as far as parks go, maybe the government, the federal government, is someone or is the entity that should manage those.
In Washington, D.C., there is a playground that is managed by the National Park Service that is frequented by mothers who have small children that are preschool age, and the National Park Service has put up barriers to prevent these mothers from taking their children to the playground. Do you believe that that is an appropriate use of federal tax dollars?
No, absolutely not. No, not
and
at all.
And Central Park in New York City is very large, and larger than some of the smaller national parks. Do you think that the National Park Service should take over Central Park because it is so large and only a large entity like the American Empire can properly control that park?
Well, you look at Central Park, I think the city and county of New York is contributing to that.
National Park Service.
Are you still there?
Yeah.
Keep going.
Okay, keep going.
No, I think the city and county of New York is doing a fine job with the.
Okay, because your earlier statement was the. Your earlier statement was that the National Park Service. Go ahead. We're talking over one another.
Yeah.
Your earlier statement was that the National Park Service is the only entity that can control large parks. And I'm just trying to figure out whether or not you think every large park should be controlled by the American Empire, or at what acreage a park becomes large enough that either a private entity or a local government is no longer able to control that park, and it must then be turned over to the American Empire.
We're starting to generalize things, but I think it is subjective. You know, if New York City is able to manage and maintain Central Park, then let them manage it.
Audubon Society wanted to purchase a large swath of land and open up a park, do you believe that they should be allowed to do so? Or at a certain acreage limit, would it be too large for them to properly handle, as you seem to be alluding to, of some parks?
And define handle. How do you handle a forest?
By maintaining.
That's a very good question.
You know, let it sit there? Maybe cut down a tree or two? You know, I'm not really sure.
If need be, there is a need to cut down the old growth and, you know, make it. You know, we're getting into tangents here. I'm speaking about an employee that I have, and
sure,
know, getting into state parks. And
Matt, I appreciate the issue that you're facing. I certainly see that in my workplace as well, and I can appreciate that you don't want to see your employees suffer or go without or take a hit in the quality of life, lifestyle department. But that's the reality here. And I think that if a person enters into a contract with the government and something like this happens, it certainly is something that you can foresee happening and should plan for. But it's also an element that if you as a business owner needed to let an employee go, it is not your responsibility to provide for that person necessarily after you've let them go, correct? I mean, beyond the extent of paying into their unemployment insurance, and they then would need to go out and make do on their own in their own networks to kind of solidify their life and get back on their feet. I would say that, you know, your employee did enter into this contract with the government and knew or should have known
that this was a possibility. And so the responsibility should not necessarily come to you as her employer, but it rests with her, frankly, to make her own decisions and provide for herself. But thank you for the call, Matt. You have a There you go. And let's see here.
Well, it sounds like this would be a great place for a community to step up and take care of the essentials that aren't being met because people all of a sudden aren't getting their paychecks. Now, I'd say that particular job, that particular field of employment, the military, it's not providing a service to anyone that's useful right now. I mean, I'm sure it would be a controversial statement for some, but here in the United States, the fact that someone's in the military does not put food on the table in one's community. It does not ship goods and services across the community. So the economy is playing catch up because all of these jobs that do not provide, the government is literally saying they don't provide, we can't pay for them right now. And really, they shouldn't have offered them in the first place. If they didn't have the funds, just because they thought that, and they still do, that they can print all the money in the world, they shouldn't be offering jobs that they can't fill and shouldn't be filling, to be honest.
Right. So they shouldn't be employing anyone when they're trillions of dollars in debt?
Absolutely.
So what is your proposed solution, Mr. Darrell?
My proposed solution is to completely abolish the federal government. And that's something that I've been advocating for nearly 20 years. I remember when I was in high school and the national debt hit $4 trillion. And I thought that was, you know, just some amount that could never be repaid. And I said, you know, I think the greatest way to get rid of the federal debt is to get rid of the federal government.
But then who owes the money?
No one owes the money. I never signed off on this loan. You never signed off on the loan.
It's backed up by the force of the state in some sense.
The full faith and credit of the United States of America, and if there is no more United States of America, then there can be no faith and credit in a non-existent entity.
It would be nice if it could just dissolve like that, but it is a lot of people that believe in it and act upon it.
The Soviet Union dissolved.
Who were they in debt to, and did the person come for collections?
That debt was forgiven.
855-450-FREE, you take control of the air. This is Free Talk Live.
Five million years ago today, Christopher Columbus celebrated Columbus Day by discovering America. You, on the other hand, should celebrate it by heading down to Guitar Center's Columbus Day sale and getting yourself a shipload of incredible music gear for next to nothing. They've got three sets of Martin acoustic guitar strings for just $10, a Zildjian 2 cymbal pack at just $69. Plus, pick up your copy of The List with hundreds of deals throughout the store now through Monday at Guitar Center's Columbus Day weekend sale.
Geico presents another helpful message from your conscience.
You should switch to Geico because you can save money on car insurance. Yeah, you agree with me because I'm your conscience. I'm always telling you to do the right thing. Listen to this. Geico's been around for 75 years, so they have an impressive legacy of saving people money. They deserve a lifetime achievement award for that little jewel. Anyway, switch to Geico. And let's slow down on the powdered donuts. Try to respect yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Pharmacist Ben Fuchs knows the importance of proper digestion.
Make sure you take a look at the Ultimate Enzyme product. They're made with bile salts and fat digestion enzymes and protein digestive enzymes. And not only do the Ultimate Enzymes give you obvious benefits for digestion, but they can also help keep your blood flowing through your circulatory system. As most of you probably know by now, thick, sludgy, clotting blood is a serious risk factor for heart disease and stroke. Clearly, inappropriate and excessive blood clotting is a major health issue, and thick, sludgy blood is not just about heart health either. Sludgy blood can compromise oxygenation and nutrient delivery to all your cells and tissues and organs and ultimately lead to almost any health issue you can name.
Concerned about proper digestion and heart health, order Ultimate Enzymes by calling 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470 or on the web at brightsidemen.com. That's brightsidemen.com. Order today.